Masechet Baba Kama Daf Samech Tet. We're going to go back and analyze a statement that Rabbi Yochanan said in passing. We're going to analyze it in depth now. Kugufa Amar Rabbi Yochanan Gazal velo nityashu ha'be'alim shenehem enan yocholim lehakdish leze lefi she'eno shelo veze lefi she'eno birshuto. Rabbi Yochanan said that if someone stole some item and the owners still have not despaired of getting it back, so it still belongs to the owner, neither the thief nor the owner can consecrate that item. The thief cannot because it doesn't belong to him. You can't consecrate something that doesn't belong to you. And the owner also can't, although he is the owner, he is not in physical possession of it. The thief took it out of his house, so he's not able to consecrate it either. So that's Rabbi Yochanan's position, that someone who owns something but is not in physical possession of it cannot consecrate it. But that's going to be the subject that we're going to be talking about. We say, "Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi?" Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha kista mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan has a general rule that halacha always follows an anonymous mishnah. And here, look at this following anonymous mishnah. It's actually not totally anonymous. It's going to be the opinion of the sinoin, the pious ones that we already saw on the previous daf. But now we're going to quote the Mishnah in more full context. We really only need the end of the Sinoin, but we're going to learn the beginning also. Utnan kerem revai hayu masayinim oto bezkokot adama simana ki adama ma adama ika hana amina avhayname ki miparka share leit hanuye mina. The Mishnah says that kerem revai, when you have a vineyard in the fourth year, and in that year you or anyone is allowed to eat from it, either by taking the grapes to Jerusalem or by redeeming. And then you could eat the grapes anywhere, and they take the money to Jerusalem and buy food. Now, the owner of the vineyard knows that this is fourth year fruit, but other people that are passing by who may be sampling some on their way, we're going to talk about why they're allowed to do that. But if they are sampling some and they may not know that this is Kerem Revai, they don't know, maybe it's Orlan and not allowed at all, or maybe it's totally permitted. So the owners would put clods of earth on the ground nearby as an indication. What's the indication? The Gemara explains that this is a siman, just like clods of earth. You're allowed to get benefit from it. It just belongs to everyone. Anyone can just take a clump of earth if they want. So too, this fruit here, as long as you redeem it with coins, you can benefit from it. It's now permitted. All right, so that's indication. Vishel Orla Baharsit. Now we're going back in time. If the vineyard is within the first 3 years, when you're not allowed to benefit from it at all, so then the owner would put pot shards around it. I mean, I guess you could put signs up and, you know, painted signs with letters on it, but that probably wouldn't be as effective because they didn't have signs. So this would be a way of indicating it that was much easier to do and didn't take much effort to take pot shards. So simana kecharsit macharsit she'en hana amina afai delet be'hana amina. And so the pot shards would be also a distinguishing mark, because just like pot shards, there's no benefit to, you can't use them for anything, and so there's no benefit. So too, the grapes in this vineyard, there is no benefit from them. And everybody would know, hey, why are there pot shards all around here? Oh, I guess this is Orla. Veshel kevarot besid. Now, to indicate that there's a grave somewhere, we have grave markers. Grave markers aren't only to write the name and know who's buried there. They're also important for tuma and tahara. Someone's tahor, they want to know to watch out and don't go over the grave. So they would mark them with lime. Simana dechivar kasamot. Why? The Gemara explains, because lime is white and it's the same color as bones. And you take the lime, dissolve it in water, and pour it all around, because when you do that, it gets even whiter. And so then that will be a clear indication there are bones here. This is a tameh place. Back to the Mishnah. When are we talking about that you should make all these signs? You only need to make them during Shavuot, because then the fields are hefker and everybody can come. And so then you have to be afraid. Everybody can come and take. But they still, the laws of Orla will apply. The laws of Netah Debai will still apply. And so that's when you have to indicate it. But it's in other years besides the seventh year, when it's private property, you don't have to indicate. If a wicked person decides he's going to come steal grapes, and they are Orla, so you know what? Let him have it, and let him die in his sin. Who asked him to come and steal? Hal iteni is not just to eat. This is like Isav says, hal iteni na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. It's a way like you stuff feed an animal, right? To stuff your face. Go stuff your face with it and die. You went and stole my grapes, so you deserve to have another sin also. So that's Rashbag, very tough on these, people that take without permission. That sounds like Tanakama would say, and certainly Sinuin say, that even during other years, you know what? We don't want people, even if they're taking things without permission, we don't want to add another sin to them, not on my account. And so be good to indicate it no matter what. Now here is the main point. V'asenoin manechin et ha-ma'ot ve'omrim kol ha-nilkat mizeh mecholal al ha-ma'ot ha-lalu. They would take anything. They would, at the end of the day, take coins, and they would say, regarding, this is for Neta Revai, they would say, anything that was taken, during the day, anyone took any grapes from here that are Neta Revai, and maybe they didn't realize that it was Neta Revai, and they didn't redeem it, so anything they already took will be redeemed with the money that I have over here. So at the Sinuin, are very nice of them to be kind, even to people that took grapes without permission, to ensure that they don't violate yet another law of Neta Revai. Why is this relevant to us? Because you see here that these other people, they took grapes, so the grapes are in their possession, these thieves, basically, and the owner no longer has them in his possession, even though the owner still owns them. And look how the owner can still redeem them and say, you know what, they're no longer consecrated. Now this money is consecrated instead. So if you could do it that way, then presumably you could go the other way also. If someone takes something of yours and has it in his possession, you can still consecrate it. Well, that's exactly the opposite of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says if a thief takes something, then the owner cannot consecrate it, even before Yeush, even though he still has ownership, not in his possession. But the Sinuin said you can. And Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha is like Stam Mishnah, and the Sinuin, although it's a group, it's not an individual opinion, it's not a minority position of an individual sage, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan should have decided halacha according to this Mishnah and said that you can consecrate something that's not in your possession. So we have a problem. And maybe you'll say, well, who are these Sinuin? We know who they are, right? Sinuin is not a whole group. It's actually talking about Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. He was of this opinion, and he was a very pious person, and this is what he did. So now that we can identify who it is, now this is actually a minority opinion, so Rabbi Yochanan can ignore it, right? And Rabbi Yochanan even would not necessarily follow an anonymous Mishnah if it was the opinion of an individual, right? He only said that we have to follow the minority opinion, that we have to follow an anonymous Mishnah when it was simply anonymous and not identifiable, and therefore presumably the opinion of the majority. But if we can identify who the anonymous opinion is, and the Gemara will often do that, if the Gemara, later Amoraim, decide that the halacha should not be like the Stam Mishnah, then this is what they do. They identify, and Stam Mishnah is only this opinion and opinion of this individual, and therefore it's a minority, and therefore the majority can overrule it. So that's exactly what we can do here, right? And say, the Sinuim are Rashbag, and therefore to be Yochanan, he doesn't have to follow the Stam Mishnah, which is actually a minority opinion. But that doesn't work because V'amar Rabba Abba Hana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Makom Shoshana Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel Mishatenu Halacha Kemoto Chutz Me'arev V'Seidan U'Re'aya Acharona. But Rabba Abba Hana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan himself that any place that Rashbag says an opinion in our Mishnah, we follow him, even though he's a minority opinion. There's three exceptions when we don't follow him. It's a case of a guarantor that's mentioned by Batra, a case of something that happened in Seidan, and regarding evidence that's brought by someone after all the evidence was submitted already. Can you reopen the case? And so in those three instances, Halacha, Rabbi Yochanan says Halacha is not like Rashbag, but in every other case, he says Halacha is like Rashbag in the Mishnah. And therefore, it doesn't really matter whether this is the anonymous opinion or it is the individual opinion of Rashbag. Rabbi Yochanan should still follow it and say that one can consecrate something that's not in one's possession. Amri la tema kol hanilkat mize ela ema kol hamitlaket mize. So in order to resolve the contradiction, we're going to change just one word, just actually a letter in the Mishnah. And so the pious people have would say, they wouldn't say at the end of the day, anything that was picked during the day should now be redeemed. Rather, they would say it in the morning. Anything that will be picked, kol hamitlaket, today, should be redeemed from now. This is going to rely on berera, on retroactive designation, because the owner doesn't know what's going to be picked today. He's not redeeming the entire field, but we're going to get to the berera in a minute. But anyway, he says it in the morning, and in the morning it's in his ownership and is in his possession, and that's why in the morning he can say anything that will be picked is going to be redeemed, because that's in his possession, which of course you can do, and that would agree with Rabbi Yochanan. As long as it's in your possession, you can consecrate something. And then we ask, Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan achiv, ha'amar Rabbi Yochanan sinu'in, v'ribi dosa amru davar echad, v'ribi dosa nilkat ka'amar. But that can't be that we're going to just change the word here, because Rabbi Yochanan himself, Rabbi Yochanan said a lot of things, so it's hard to reconcile all of them together. He happened to say that the Sinu'in in the Mishnah and Rabbi Dosa in the next source both agree on their view. And Rabbi Dosa in the next Mishnah says nilkat, that you can do something afterwards even though it's not in your possession anymore. In other words, if you say Sinu'in agree with Rabbi Dosa, and Rabbi Dosa says nilkat, then the Sinu'in also, you have to leave the Mishnah as is, as nilkat, and you cannot switch it around. And therefore, he should follow the Sinu'in. But first, let's see the Rabbi Dosa. The Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shacharit Baal HaBayit Omer VeOmer, Kol SheYeh LaKetu Aniyim Hayom YeHefker. You have a farmer, and there's laws about poor people and what they're allowed to take. But the laws are sometimes complicated. Like if the farmer forgets one or two sheaves, then the poor people are allowed to take it. But if he forgets three of them, then the poor people cannot take it. But the poor people may make a mistake sometimes, and the owner doesn't want the poor people to violate stealing. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda would say, in the morning, an owner of a field should say, anything that the poor people will take today, I declare hifked. And it's okay, right? I don't mind. So they'll take a little more. The farmer, you should be very generous and allow them to take whatever, even if they're going to take a little more than is absolutely permitted, right? Let it be hefked and let it be theirs. Rabbi Dosa has the same concern, but he has a different solution. Omer li'itote arev omer kol sheliketu aniyim yehe hefked. Rabbi Dosa says, don't do that in the morning. You know why? In the morning, you know, there's going to be the poor people are there. They're going to hear the farmer say, anything that any poor people take is hefked. So now the poor people are going to go and say, oh, anything I take is hefked. They're going to take too much. They're going to take advantage of this. So Rabbi Dosa says a better idea is later, towards the evening, then say retroactively, anything that the poor people took already, Let that be hefker. And now, even though it's not in his possession, physical possession anymore, because they already took it. The poor people, the stuff that they weren't allowed to take is basically stolen. And it's in their possession. Nevertheless, the owner has a right to say, let them take it. Let it be hefker, right? And now it will not be still stolen property anymore. And that way you can save the poor people from violating stealing. So you see here that Rabbi Dosa says what they already took. And this has to be the same as Rabbi Dosa, right? Because Rabbi Yochanan himself said that the Sinu'in and Rabbi Dosa said the same thing, things that they already took. And therefore, Rabbi Dosa must have said that which is already taken, and we can't change the word of Rabbi Dosa. So, to resolve the problem, let's try this. Epuch de Rabbi Yehuda le Rabbi Dosa, ve Rabbi Dosa le Rabbi Yehuda. Why don't we switch these two opinions in this Beraita, right? I know it says it this way, but we can switch it around. And if we do that, then Rabbi Dosa will be the one that says that you can make a declaration for the future, that in the future it will be Hefker. And since Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Dosa and the Sinu'in say the same thing, well, then that's all reconciled, because then you can change the Mishnah from Kol HaNilkat to Kol HaMitlaket, and all that we're doing so that the Stam Mishnah, the Sinu'in, can accord with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says you cannot consecrate something that's not in your possession. That's fine. And so here also he's saying, no, only something, I'm only going to redeem things I'm saying in the morning, I'll redeem things that they will take, and I will make hefker things that they will take. So no one is consecrating or redeeming or giving away anything that's not in their possession. And so by switching the two opinions here, we can make everything work out. But then we ask, Amaya pacht matnita, apecha al Rabbi Yochanan, ve'ema sinuin v'Rabbi Yehuda, amru davar echad. Wait, we have an easier solution. I mean, that might work, but why are you changing the two opinions in a baraita, which is a pretty hard thing to do? Instead, switch the name that Rabbi Yochanan said. Isn't it easier to switch around the statement of an Amora and say that Rabbi Yochanan, we've transmitted his statement wrong, and what he really said is that the Sinu'in and Rabbi Yehuda said the same thing, and therefore you can leave Rabbi Yehuda as is, who says for the Yilkitu, that which they will take, and that's the same as Rabbi the Sinu'in, who say Kol HaMitlaket, right? So we'll change the Mishnah, and that'll be equivalent to Rabbi Yehuda. So why not just say Rabbi Yochanan said that the Sinu'in are the same as Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara responds and explains that, yes, although switching what Rabbi Yochanan said would solve the problem, but the truth is we have to switch the names of the Braita in any case for a different reason. Amre la sagya de la mitapechat matnita. There's a double negative here, right? It would not be sufficient to not reverse the opinions of the Braita, meaning that you have to reverse the opinions of the Braita, independent of answering the question to Rabbi Yochanan. The Behamat Nitin Katanit Itle Rabbi Yehuda Berira. Because according to this Braita, if you leave it as is, it suggests that Rabbi Yehuda thinks that there is retroactive designation, because he says in the morning, anything that will be taken from now, hefker, even though he doesn't know what's going to be taken. So that means Rabbi Yehuda accepts berira, according to that. However, v'shaminan le Rabbi Yehuda be'alma delet le berira. But we know that Rabbi Yehuda in general does not think that there is such a possibility for retroactive designation. And we know that from a Mishnah in Demai dit nan. Halokeach yayim miben hakutim omer. Shne lugim sheni atid lefrish harehen teruma. Asara maaser rishon, tisha maaser sheni. Umechel v'shote miyad, dibre Rabbi Meir. If someone buys wine from a kuti, and so we are assuming that the kuti, the Samaritan, did not take terumot maasrot. Why doesn't it give a simpler case of someone takes them from an Amaretz? Well, the problem is Amaretz did generally take terumah, and it was only demai, the rabbanan. So we want a case where we're taking it from someone who definitely didn't. I mean, the Samaritans do follow biblical law, and the things that they follow even more strictly, the Gemara says, than the rabbis do. But in this regard, we're assuming that they did not take Terumah or Maaser, and someone buys it from the Samaritan right before Shabbat, and they want to enjoy the wine on Shabbat, but you're not allowed to separate on Shabbat, and so what is he going to do? So the Rabbi Meir has a solution. Here, all you have to do is take the wine, take the big jar of wine, and you say, let's assume that there's 100 log. You say, 2 log that I will separate in the future after Shabbat. You're not allowed to separate on Shabbat. After Shabbat, I'm going to separate it. So whatever 2 I separate, that will be for Terumah. That's the average amount for Terumah, 2%. And that the 10 that I will separate afterwards, that will be for Maaseh Rishon, and I'll give that to the Levi. And 9 that I will separate, that will be Maaseh Sheni Umechel, and I redeem it for a coin and make it Holin. And then I drink it Veshoteh Miyad, Rabbi Meir, and you could drink the rest right away, even though you didn't physically separate anything. You're saying that in the future, retroactively, I will do it. And this is an easy solution so that you can enjoy the wine for Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin, but Rabbi Yehuda and other colleagues say you cannot do this, presumably because they think that you cannot do Berira with this retroactive designation, so this loophole will not work. So you see from here that Rabbi Yehuda does not allow retroactive designation. Therefore, it cannot be that in the Braita, Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says you make the declaration in the morning for anything that will happen, poor people will take retroactively as hefked from now. Can't be. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda must be the one who says that the farmer would say the declaration in the evening. Then he can say it about the past. Whatever they took, I'm making hefked. And so therefore, we have to switch around the opinions anyway. And once we do that, it actually helps us out, because now Rabbi Dosa is the one that says you say the declaration in the morning. Now, saying it in the morning does require that you accept retroactive designation, but has the benefit that you are making hefked something that's already in your possession. Unlike if you say it's in the evening, then it's not in your possession. And so now the Biyudah will be the one that says, yeah, you can make hefked something that's not in your possession. That's okay. And the Bidosa says, no, it's in your possession at the time because you're doing it in the morning. And now when the Biyochanan said that the Bidosa and the Sinu'in said the same thing, well, now it will match, because remember the Sinu'in, although in the Mishnah, it says that they said it in the evening, but we switched it in order to help Rabbi Yochanan, because otherwise, how could Rabbi Yochanan, how come he didn't say halacha is like the Stam Mishnah? So we said, you know what, switch it. The Sinu'in are actually talking about also when you say it in the morning, and you're saying in the future, anyone who takes Maaser Sheni, I'm going to make it transfer the holiness to the money from now. And so now we have Rabbi Dosa and the Sinu'in both said the same thing. Both of them say that the declaration is in the morning while it's still in the possession of the owner. And Rabbi Yochanan then perfectly agrees with the Sinu'in, which is the Stam Mishnah, and that also equals Rabbi Dosa, that you cannot designate as Hekdesh something that is not in your possession. And that's what Rav said to begin with, that a thief can, the owner of something that was stolen, cannot make it Hekdesh because it's not in his possession. And so now we solved all the problems, right? Not so fast. Amre sof sof amai ka'apichat la lematnitin mishum de kashya Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda. Now, just step back a second. Why did you feel a need that you had to switch around the opinions in the Baraita? Because we had a contradiction between the Rabbi Yehuda here and the Rabbi Yehuda somewhere else, where he says there's no Berera. So if you say there's no Berera, then he has to be the one that says you make the declaration in the evening after it's already done. Okay, hashtaneme kashad Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. But now we're going to have exactly the same problem for the Rabbi Yochanan himself. Damat Rabbi Yochanan, la tema kol hanilkat ela ema kol hamit laket alma it le berira. Right, we said, according to Rabbi Yochanan, don't read the Mishnah as in the Sinu'in in the Mishnah as a saying that one, the farmer would say in the evening, everything that was taken will be redeemed. Rather, change it to the morning, everything that will be redeemed. We said that in order to solve the problem that you cannot redeem something that's not in your possession. So if you say it in the morning, then it is in your possession. But once you do that, then, okay, fine, you don't need the halakha of the possession. But that assumes that Berida works because you're saying it in the morning for what they will say in the future. Here's the problem. Rabbi Yochanan, let le Berida. Rabbi Yochanan himself does not use the rule of Berida. Amar Rav Ase Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Achin Shechalku, Lakochot Hen, Umachazirin Ze Laze Bayovel. If you have two brothers, their father died, and then the inheritance goes into an estate. It goes into a separate trust, like a corporation, and until they split it. And then when they decide, I'm going to take this land and you take that land, they are considered like buyers from each other. Because there are buyers, that has consequences. When the Yovel comes, just like any bought land goes back to its original owner, when the Yovel comes, each of their respective lands goes back into an inheritance trust. And then they have to divide it again. What do you see from here? That he does not have Berida. The other opinion would say that when the father dies, the father didn't say which son gets which part. But if you hold a Berida, then you can imagine it as follows. Yeah, it goes into a trust. But once the brothers decide, I get land A and you get land B, we designate retroactively that that's what the father had decided when he died. And so it didn't go into a trust retroactively. This was always yours and this was always mine. And therefore it remains as if each brother inherited directly that estate, and therefore it would not go back to the other brother in the Yovel. If you hold the Berida, then you could say that, and then you don't have to divide it every time there's a Yovel. But Rabbi Yochanan does not agree with that opinion. He says they do have to divide it. It goes back into the estate status because he does not have Berida, and therefore we Rabbi Yochanan will not do to say that Rabbi Yochanan says it, you do it in the morning, because if the farmer makes a declaration in the morning, then he requires Berida, and so it can't be that changing the sinuin in the Mishnah to being in the morning will just cause another problem, another contradiction for Rabbi Yochanan. Ela le'olam kol hanilkat. Rather, leave the Mishnah as is. That's talking about the later in the day. And in fact, Rabbi Yochanan cannot follow this Mishnah. It's true. So he is contradicting a Mishnah and not following the stam of the Mishnah. But that's okay, because Rabbi Yochanan sitama harina ashkach. He found another stam Mishnah, and he says halacha can be like that Mishnah. And where in the world is that stam Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan relies on? There's no place like home. It's our very Mishnah right here in this Perek that we are analyzing, Ditnan. En hagonev achar haganab mishalem tashlome kefel. If a thief steals from a thief, the second thief does not pay double to anybody. Now we ask, am I? Bishlal lamal ganab rishon l'mishalem v'gonab mibet ha'ish v'lo mibet ha'ganav. Ela da ba'alim nishalem. We understand that the second thief is not going to pay double to the first thief from whom he stole it directly, because the pasuk says that you pay double when it's stolen from the house of the owner. And here, he didn't steal it from the house of the owner, but rather from the house of the thief, who was not the owner. But maybe the second thief should pay double to the original owner. It's true, the first thief first stole it and had it in his house, so the first thief pays double, but then the second guy comes and steals it again, and so he's stealing again the item of the original owner, so maybe he also has to pay double to the original owner. So why not? Rather, the second thief does not have to pay double because he doesn't have to pay double to the first thief, because it doesn't belong to the first thief, so he didn't steal it from the first thief. And he also does not have to pay the original owner because it's not in the original owner's possession, and you only have to pay double if you're stealing it from the original owner while it's in the original owner's house in his possession. This is the very same principle that Rabbi Yochanan said regarding Hekdesh. You cannot make something Hekdesh unless it's you both own it and it's in your possession. The thief cannot make something Hekdesh because he doesn't own it, and the owner cannot make it Hekdesh because it's not in his possession. So you see that our very Mishnah has the same principle, and Rabbi Yochanan does. It's true, Rabbi Yochanan has a rule. You have to follow Stam Mishnah. But in this case, there's two Stam Mishnayot that say different things. So he picked this one here rather than the other one about the Sinu'in. Umay chazit azil batara hi setama, labid ki hai setama de Sinu'in. And now yes, wait a bit, Yochanan, why'd you choose to follow the Stam of this Mishnah here in Baba Kama? Why didn't and not follow that other Setam of the Sinu'in? Mishum de mesale kera ve'ish ki yakdish et beto lekodesh la'Hashem ma beto b'rishuto af kol b'rishuto. Because in addition to this Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan also had a pasuk that supports his opinion, and this Mishnah in Baba Kama, it says if a person consecrates his house to God, just like his house is in his possession, so too only things that he not only owns but are also in his possession he can consecrate, but not other things. So since there was explicit pasuk that he had to rely on, he preferred this Stam Mishnah. All right, and now that we mentioned Rabbi Yochanan's statement, we're gonna about the equivalence of Rabbi Dosa and the Sinu'in, we're going to analyze that. There's going to be three different commentaries on what we might have thought if Rabbi Yochanan had not taught us this. Amar Abaye, Ilav d'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sinu'in v'Rabbi Dosa amru dabar echad, hava amina Sinu'in it lehu d'Rabbi Dosa, v'Rabbi Dosa let le disnu'in. If Rabbi Yochanan had not taught that the Sinu'in and that Mishnah, the Rabbi Dosa, agreed with each other, I would have thought that the Sinu'in would agree with the opinion of Rabbi Dosa, but Rabbi Dosa would not agree with the opinion of the Sinu'in. And let's explain. Sinu'in eat lehu to Rabbi Dosa. Sinu'in would agree with Rabbi Dosa. Ma beganav abadu berabanan takanta. The Sinu'in were talking about thieves, people that come and they just take grapes from someone's vineyard, totally without permission, and yet the rabbis there said, we don't want them to violate, even though they're stealing, we don't want them to violate neta revai, and therefore, you know what, make the statement that everything they took is redeemed. So if the rabbis help thieves, aniim sarich alememad, then all the more so, the rabbis would say, would make a takana, and that you should help poor people. That was Rabbi Dosa's opinion. If poor people come and they take some sheaves that are in an unauthorized way because they were ignorant of the exact halakha, then we don't want them also to, we don't want them to violate stealing. And so we say, you know what, farmers make it hefked so that they won't violate. So if the rabbis help people who are actually thieves, all the more so they should help poor people who are just trying to collect what they think is they are permitted to take. So they would that way would work. Rabbi Dosa let lehu disnu'in aniyim huda abadu lehu rabbanan takanta aval ganab lo abadu behed le rabbanan takanta. But Rabbi Dosa may not agree with the sinu'in because Rabbi Dosa says that we want to help out poor people, and so if the poor people took something unauthorized they didn't realize, so we don't want them to be a thief, so then therefore the rabbis say make it hefker. But Rabbi Dosa would not necessarily say that you have to make a takana to help thieves so that they don't violate ma'aser sheni, neta revai, rather. So let them, what, you stole something? Oh, that now you're stealing? So let you deserve to make a sin. And we don't have to worry about those people. That's what I might have thought. But now that Rabbi Yochanan said that they agree with each other, I see that really they would both agree that you should help even someone that does something wrong. You should help them not violate a second problem. Amar Rava. Now Rava gives his interpretation of Rabbi Yochanan and why Rabbi Yochanan's statement was necessary, otherwise he would have thought something wrong. If not that Rabbi Yochanan taught us that the Sinu'in the Mishnah, they agree with Rabbi Dosa, I would have thought that, you know who the Sinu'in are? They are the Bimeir. In other words, the Sinu'in say that you should redeem the Kerem Revai on behalf of the people that take it. The reason why that works is not because of the same principle as Rabbi Dosa, but rather because of a principle that Rabbi Meir says that we're going to explain. Lav amar Rabbi Meir, maaser mamon gavoahu. There's machloket, it's talking about maaser sheni. Maaser sheni is curious because on the one hand, it's holy and has restrictions that you can only eat it in Jerusalem. On the other hand, you can eat it. And most things that belong to God, you can't eat, you can't use at all. So there's a machloket about what is maaser sheni? Who owns it? Is it that I own it, the farmer, but I just have some restrictions about how to eat it? Or is it that God owns it? And God says, you know what, you can share, I'll share with you as long as we eat it in Jerusalem. So the Rebbe is of the opinion that maaser sheni belongs to God. Nevertheless, even though maaser sheni belongs to God, nevertheless, regarding redemption, Hashem says, you know what, I'll treat it as if it's yours. As the pasuk says, if a person decides he wants to redeem his maaser sheni, then he can redeem maasro. It calls it his, the farmer's maaser, as long as he adds a fifth. So you see, it calls it his maaser, and he has to add a fifth. So that means that only the farmer is a special exception. That God says, you can redeem it as if it's yours. But nobody else can. I can't go and redeem somebody else's ma'aser sheni. That won't work. Doesn't belong to me. It does technically doesn't even belong to the farmer. But God says, you know what? I'll treat the farmer as if it's his. Good. Now that we know that for ma'aser sheni, kerem rebai nami gamar kodesh kodesh ma'aser ketiv hacha. Kodesh sheli muchtiv gabe ma'aser kol ma'asar ha'aris mezera ha'aris mepiri ha'etz la'ashem hu kodesh. And we're going to use a gezerah shavah to connect kerem rebai to ma'aser sheni. And it says the word kodesh in both of them. It says on Net Haravai and Kerem Revai, it says Kodesh Hilulim, and it says regarding Maaseh Sheni, that is Hashem, and it is Kodesh. Therefore, Ma Kodesh Timas Be Maaseh, Afagal Demon Gavahu Linan Pidya Ukme Rachamana Birshute, just like Kodesh and regarding Maaseh, and we know the law of Maaseh Sheni is even though that it belongs to God. Nevertheless, God says, you know what? You, the farmer, you can, it's as if it's yours for the purpose of redemption. Also, Kerem Rebai, the fourth year fruit, it's holy, it's God's, and you can have it. Unless you bring it to Jerusalem, then God says, okay, I'll share it with you there, and I'll treat it like it's yours, you the farmer, for the purpose of redemption, that if you can't carry it to Jerusalem, then you can redeem it as if it's yours. Teha ki ite birshute nami halavdi dehu veha mase mechel mishum hachi mase machil. Now, the significance of this ruling is that even when my maaser sheni or kerem revai is in my possession, right? I have it here in my house. Still, it's not actually mine because kerem revai belongs to gavoa. And so, even in the best case scenario, when it's in my house, it's not actually mine, and yet I am allowed to redeem it and make it chol. For that reason, also, when someone takes it, a thief comes and they come into my vineyard and they take some grapes that are kerem revai, I can then go at night and say, I want to redeem it. Because even though it's not in my possession, that's okay. And even in the best case scenario, it's not in my ownership. It belongs to God. It just happens to be around. God makes a special exception. You know what? You can redeem it even though it's not yours. If not, you're in your possession. So too, for Kerem Revai and Maaseh Sheni, these are special exceptions that I, the farmer, would be able to redeem it even if it's not in my possession. But that's a law that's special for this, and therefore, that would be the reasoning of the Sinu'in, right? So Sinu'in, they're following Rabbi Meir and saying that is a special exception. Aval gabeleket kevan de mamonadi de ki ite birshute hu de mase mafkar le ki lete birshute la mase mafkar le. But the Sinu'in, following Rabbi Meir, would not necessarily agree with Rabbi Dosa's rule regarding leket that the poor people take, because in that case, this is the farmer's own property. There's nothing holy about it. He dropped three sheaves, so they belong to him totally. So if regarding leket, there's no exception, special thing that you can make something efked when it's not in your possession. Since this is just a regular item, not kedem nebai, not maaseh sheni, just regular property, if it's in your possession, then you can make it efked. If it's not in your possession, because the poor person took it and went away, then you cannot make it hefked anymore. So I would have thought, if Rabbi Yochanan had not taught us a special rule, his equivalence, that the Sinu'in are following the opinion of Rabbi Meir and would not apply that to leket, to the poor people. It's a good thing Rabbi Yochanan taught us that. Now I know that the Sinu'in and the Bidosa are actually both based on the same principle, that you can make something ekdesh, you can redeem something, and you can make something efked, even if it's not in your possession. And lastly, Amar Avinai has a third application of the importance of Rabbi Yochanan's equivalence. He loved Amar Rabbi Yochanan Sinu'in v'Rabbi Dosa Amru Dabar Echad Avamina Mantenat Sinu'in Rabbi Dosa Hi. If not that Rabbi Yochanan said that the Sinu'in and Rabbi Dosa say the same thing, I would have said that the Sinu'in are Rabbi Dosa. I would have equated, not just equated their opinions, but equated them themselves. Rabbi Dosahi, ki hechi de la tikshe, stam mishna, Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan, ki stam yichida'a lo amar. And I would have done that so that we wouldn't have a problem, the question that we started with, that Rabbi Yochanan, he says that you cannot make hekdesh, something that's not in your possession. And then we had a question from him, from the Stam Mishnah of the Sinu'in. And I would get it out of that problem by saying that the Stam Mishnah is the minority opinion of Rabbi Dosa. And Rabbi Yochanan doesn't follow a minority opinion of Rabbi Dosa. And then that way I could have solved the whole problem to begin with. And that's what I would have done. Except that Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Dosa and the Sinu'in said the same thing. By saying they said the same thing, they can't actually be the same person. They agree with each other. They are not one and the same person. And so therefore, I was not able to get an easy out for Rabbi Yochanan. I was prevented from doing so because of Rabbi Yochanan's own statement of equivalence. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.